You can come back whenever you want.
So. Oh, wait. Yay.
Yeah, you've got the invitation. You've made it.
Woohoo. And I think everyone should support local radio by finding a friend who has their radio show and then being on it. And then you'll want to
donate.
And
also donating to Fun Drive.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't donated yet, but I will.
So stay tuned for Ink Studs with Robin, live in studio for the second week in a row. And without further ado, our number one pick on the countdown is a singer-songwriter by Aiden Knight. I'm Evan Brow. This is Annie.
Hi, guys.
This is Annie. And you've been listening to Definition Soundwave on CITR 101.9.
Woo.
Carpet in the month of June. I'm holding in a song, wrapping my head around the fortunate wound. Been you senseless with a delicate word. You be out humming and all that heavy, there ain't that much to say. As I press against your body, like the girls do at the bar. And you fear it in the moment, and they discover who you are. And you question all your memories, so pour yourself another drink, it collapses in the pile. Pages and sleep.
Oh, there we go. I didn't have the mic on. Oh, I am a professional radio DJ. It's going to bode well for my future at Much Music. Do they still have people on Much Music?
Or do they still have Much Music?
Is that do they still have it? Or is it just like repeats of like old MTV shows?
I think they're called
like
VJs, though.
Okay, got to go. Sorry, closer to the mic there, Daniel.
They're called VJs.
Virtual VJs. Jockeys.
But it's short for something else.
The jazzled
VG.
It's a gynecological term.
Oh, no. This is Ink Studs, the radio show about comics. As some folks know, if you've been listening to CITR regularly this last week, it is the funding drive. So we're doing a funding drive. We're asking folks to donate money. And if you like the Ink Studs and you donate towards supporting CITR, and you mention that it's for Inkstuds, we have comics to give. So call in 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648 to donate. See how that rhymes? Sorry, it's not a pun. Would you guys prefer if it was some kind of pun?
Yep.
I prefer if you put it to a beat.
Can you do some white boy beatboxing for me, Daniel?
Probably. Does that mean I should?
No, that's okay. I'll introduce my guests this week. I am joined by, first off, Daniel Giantomasso. Did I get it even remotely right?
Yeah.
You're lying.
Giantomasso.
Giantomasso. There we go. Brendan Graham.
Hello, Earth.
And Brian Fukushima.
Hello, Earth.
Oh, no. It's just not voting well. Daniel, I asked to join us this week because he is launching a book tomorrow night at Dynamo...
Arts Association.
Arts Association, there we go.
Is it pronounced Dynamo or is it Dynamo?
Dynamo.
Hmm. So like, the usual
like
way,
the
then.
Character
okay.
from Running Man.
Okay. See, I'm just going to fail at pronouncing anything right this week. And the book is called Sandwiches, and it is a collection of large-form sandwiches... interpreted by a variety of different artists, including some comic book artists that I'm a big fan of. Why don't you tell us some of the folks and tell us a little bit about the book, about your kind of idea when you start putting this thing together.
Well, the idea was just to get a lot of artists to draw sandwiches, which is exactly...
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, mission accomplished. But there's lots of good artists in here. There's people who have been on the Inkstuds program before. You got your Josh Bayer. Actually, that might be the only one.
It's a one-page book.
Yeah, there's one drawing by Josh Bayer of Dagwood Bumstead.
Oh, that one is amazing. It's not just Dagwood. It's two blondies. I guess like ass to ass with their asses are Dagwood.
Listener discretion be advised.
That are eating a sandwich. It's kind of amazing. It's really a beautiful.
It's
book.
Like that scene from Requiem for a Dream, but with sandwiches.
But yeah. With Dagwood face. Ass and sandwiches. It's kind of amazing that somebody came up with it and stayed out of jail.
Did you just say the jail?
Yeah, the jail.
The book's 10x14. Lots of local artists, lots of international artists. It's going to be available for the first time on Friday at Dynamo, which is 6 in Ontario. 8 to midnight, we have an opening.
There we go. How much art from the book is going to be in the show?
There's about 20 pieces from the book, but the book actually has 51 artists' drawings, including the cover. Yeah.
It's really an impressive book. It's huge, and the printing's really nice.
Yeah, and I hand-assembled them all with a couple friends and screen-printed the cover on vinyl, and it's got a wraparound dust jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. This is a guy from Vancouver, Brennan Kelly.
I forgot to mention that there's also a gentleman in a wearing a pink suit with no shirt on underneath his blazer, sprinkling oil on the two blondies with the Dagwood.
And he's got two thumbs on one hand.
Oh yeah, it's terrifying.
Thank you, Josh Bayer.
Yeah.
Thank you for the nightmares.
Is that piece going to be one of the ones in the show?
Yeah, actually, the original is available. It's quite big. It's a nice little...
I want to go just to see that.
Yeah. There's lots of lots of original art. A lot of just ink drawings because these were digitally colored. But they're beautiful drawings.
So. Well, congratulations. I know you've been working on that book for a while.
Yeah, it's been a year.
You're mentioning it's hand-assembled. You did all the binding yourself.
Just like a sandwich.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is that one could argue a book is a sandwich of pages.
How does it taste?
But why would you?
Like this bread. Is really nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at a Jason Fisher image, which is quite cool.
Fish.
It's a hamburger-headed woman, and the bun is made out of her flesh, which is kind of terrifying.
Jason put that up on Tumblr like right after he did it, and he's been selling posters of it. Like he was selling it at Emerald City and stuff. Because he got kind of in trouble with a lot of people for it. It ended up on like it was called Fat Girl Art website, but it was like actually run by an overweight woman, I guess. And People just thought it was really offensive to put a big greasy burger head on a kind of chubby girl in a bathing suit.
But that's kind of what, I mean, a lot of times...
that's what Jay Fish draws.
That's what he likes, yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, isn't he kind of, he's drawing his girlfriend a lot of the time.
I would assume,
not
maybe.
That she has a burger head.
I think that body, yeah, the body type maybe.
Yeah, whatever. No, I mean, that's the body type that he's into, and so it's not, yeah. it's very kind of fat positive.
Yeah, I don't think he meant anything evil by it, but he,
has the print been doing
notoriety for sure.
Has the print been doing well for him?
Yeah, I think he sells lots of them. I think, like, maybe more than other things. He's been, like, really, like, that one, that image has been prolific.
Now, a reminder, folks, you're listening to Ink Studs. To call in to donate towards the funding drive, 604-822-8648. And I'm going to list off some of the comics we're giving away if you donate. If you donate $30, you can get Infinite Kung Fu by Keegan MacLeod, Any Empire by Nate Powell, Castle Waiting by Linda Medley, a fun package of Cinema Sewer and Sleazy Slice by Robin Bougie. Brandon's just giving me up and down pointers. Not going to tell you what he does and doesn't approve of. Stop staring at me.
For the Bougie book, I just pointed to my crotch.
And a Charlie Brown Christmas book. Thank you to Top Shelf Fantagraphics and
Charles Schultz,
Koyama Press, and Rebus Books for all donating books. At the $75 amount, you can get a package of Koyama comics, which includes Lose Number 2, a mini comic by Brian Fukushima.
What? Serial is the mini comic. You should look at it.
For reals?
I made it.
For serials?
For you to read.
It's very pretty.
Is it about
very
cereal?
Good.
Is it being serialized?
No, it's finished. I ran out of milk. It's about a cereal mascot, and it's just a little mini comic, and it's cute, and people liked it, and I don't want to think about it anymore. On to bigger and better things.
You've given them all away on fun drives?
Something like that. You know that thing when you like make a thing and you're proud of it for 5 seconds, then you're like, get this out of my sight. People are like, give me your new book. You're like, no one must have it.
No one should see this crap. Yeah.
That's what I collect, everybody's shame.
Mm-hmm. It's blackmail.
Because I'm my own parent shame. Oh. 604-822-8648 to donate. Other things in the $75 package, Heart of Thomas. If you donate $75, you can get that book.
That one didn't move yet, but that one looked really good.
That one's still there. If you choose to donate, Brandon, you can have that book.
I recommend that somebody that calls in, I don't want to take it from your fine listeners. It's a 1960s girls manga about a gay romance in a German school. It has the word Fraulein said in it while somebody is crying. So if that's the kind of thing you're into, if you're a human being, then you should call in and ask for that.
If you like sad Fraulein.
Yeah.
I feel like this conversation has happened before, but I have no recollection of it.
No,
like,
this is every conversation I have. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you people? You don't want sad Fraulein manga? I have nothing to say to you.
As well, we have From Hell by Alan. I almost said Frank Miller. That would have been good. Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell. Blankets by Craig Thompson. And The Very Lovely Humbug by Harvey Kurtzman and The Usual Gang of Idiots. But not The Usual Gang of Idiots because it's not a mad book.
Al Jaffee.
Al Jaffee.
Jaffee from the French.
Le Jaffee. And also, I have 3 copies left of the Horror Hangover comic zine, which actually Daniel was a huge help in putting it together.
It's also a nice book.
Thank you. We spent many hours folding, stapling, and chopping with the big paper cutter you have. That thing's sweet.
Don't put your fingers in it.
No.
I have drawing in that.
Yep, you do.
I did.
It is. And so does Daniel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brandon?
Brandon opted out.
I opted out. I didn't feel...
Sorry, you're too busy writing Profit.
and drawing my own comics. Mm.
Fraulein.
Yeah, I remember that month. You're just doing Profit. That's just don't try and pretend you're some kind of massive creative talent.
I'm a massive creative... I don't know if
you're
I told
a massive
you guys,
creative sellout.
I'm a massive creative talent.
Oh, no. I think I'm going to play a song. It's my birthday, so I get to play what I want and celebrate my birthday by calling in 604-822-8648 to
donate. I hope you guys
like donate.
50 Cent.
I was debating. Okay, I don't know why the song isn't playing.
What's wrong with you, CD player? No, there we go. And my headphones just broke, so now I'm all like one-siding
it off your head.
I feel like I'm in like a radio or a club DJ.
Or
I don't
call
know.
Center.
Or a call center. Oh, it's CD2.
This is how they do it on Much
there
Music.
There we go. Yeah, this is, you can just call me Rick the Temp now.
Yeah, this is not voting.
There we go. Yeah, 1990s. Would you even call this hip hop? Just pop music?
You could. It's
Brandon's our gauge.
It's not
of
hip.
The doing the Dirty hot. Bird isn't hip.
I wouldn't call it. Yeah, I mean, you know.
That
way
was
back in 1990X.
Yeah, that was Bass Patrol with the Dirty Bird. And when I downloaded the song, oh, I shouldn't say that. Like, you know, MP3s will have, like, images.
You purchased it from iTunes, legitimately.
Yeah, the image that was connected with it as the album cover artwork, it was, like, Strip Club's Greatest Hits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classy track.
I first heard that
it's
song.
It's your theme song, isn't it?
It is.
You know that song, White Pony? If you want. Or White Horse.
Yeah.
I first heard that at a strip club.
Oh, we had a great really moment. Good. What were you saying? Sorry. I had a great moment at the comic convention. I had my little sister, 16, hanging out
oh, we
with
should,
us the whole time.
Yeah, we were in Seattle at Emerald City Comic Con this
yes,
past weekend.
Exactly. And my little sister showed up in her pajamas and hung out behind the table the whole time. And at one point I was talking to her, and I remarkably I don't hang out with kids, so I just talk to her like I talk to my friends and say whatever horrible things. And I was talking about the song Smell Your Dick, which, you know, it's a song about like a guy going home or to his girlfriend and
Brandon, her. Where are you going with this?
No, I was just talking to her about, like, I was referencing something. I was like, you know, it's the song, it's like the song Smell Your Dick. And she was like, oh, that song's from back in the day. And I love the idea of smell your dick being, you know, it's that thing where you go home and your girlfriend doesn't trust, like we've all experienced, your girlfriend doesn't trust you, just she smells your dick.
God. Yeah. That nostalgic
okay,
memory.
Yeah. So Inkstud, CITR, 101.9 FM. You can call in 604-822-8648 to donate. I didn't get my beatboxing with that. You failed me, Daniel.
Oh.
You failed me.
Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats.
Okay, I can't do this. Now, part of this past weekend, something we wanted to talk about is, so Brandon, Brian, and I were at Emerald City Comic Con. You went last year, Daniel, and saw the mayhem and your roommate Joel being a creep. One of the things that was quite standout of the thing is there was a man walking around in black-faced Geordi LaForge.
Oh, yeah, that was remarkably inappropriate.
It was amazing that someone thought that was okay.
Yeah, it's cosplay, though.
But it wasn't the only blackface at the convention, either.
No, there was also blackface Michonne from The Walking Dead. Mm. So someone did blackface for her. And then she had two zombies that she trailed around that also did blackface.
In like, slavery chains, essentially.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm.
It was just, like, and it was weird. The funny thing was, so...
It's all in fun. All in good fun.
That was the funny thing, is that was the, so, you know, our friend David Brothers was down there, and, you know, surprisingly, as a black man, he took offense to this, and very, you know, kind of joked about it on Twitter and wrote articles about it, and it was really surreal to read people defending this stuff and being like, well, they don't know, and just that, like, the, you know, 2013, where, like, there's people that are defending blackface at all on any level.
Yeah, they just want to do really good cosplay, and it's not their fault that they're white.
You know, if you're a Klingon, you're going to do your face brown.
That's right.
Right?
Stoko has said in the past that Klingon is the only way that a white guy can get away with blackface.
There was a Data who was, like, really, really pale, and it was off-putting as well.
Was he black?
I'm not sure.
That's not racist, though. That's just,
I have no idea.
Cyber.
Yeah, it's hard to bring the white man down. I've tried.
I was reading. I made the mistake of reading comments blogs, and you know, the internet's a pretty horrible place to read comments on. And so many just horrible ideas. One guy said, "I think LeVar Burton would have been okay with it." And I'm like, "Do you remember this?"
But he's blind. He can't see it.
There we go. I'm colorblind. LeVar Burton also did a certain miniseries called Roots.
And Reading Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. I think Alex Haley would have been cool with that.
He did that one in blindface.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So was there a point to this other than, like, the comics community can sometimes verge on the horrible?
Yeah.
Just stupid.
Just stupid. People, you can do better. Don't do blackface.
Unless you're in a minstrel band, then it's totally fine.
Oh. But it's like,
that's when it works out.
You could pick, like, any other Star Trek character.
What if you're like Bruce Willis and you're in Harlem and you're trying to get beaten up?
Is this a Die Hard movie I haven't seen?
Yeah, that was Die Hard 3.
With a vengeance.
What if you're a spy?
You're a pretty shitty spy.
There is the hilarious Deuce Bigelow 2 where the black guy disguises himself by wearing blackface, and the actor puts nothing on his face. He just says that he's
any opportunity to bring up Deuce Bigelow 2.
Not Deuce Bigelow 1. Deuce Bigelow 2.
Yeah, don't make me
Deuce Bigelow in Europe. Yeah. Was that when he was in Amsterdam?
Yeah. That's it. I enjoy that movie more than I should.
They love blackface.
I did an interview yesterday where they asked me about, I sound like just a pretentious asshole talking about the comics I'm into, and I was talking about, like, Munoz and Sampaio and all these different things that are I regard as really high art, and they're like movies, and I'm like, I really like Big Trouble in Little China. And,
that is excellent.
The Dirty Pair movie is awesome.
What was the music you were listening to when your fancy art house publisher called you up the other day?
Oh, yeah. Dan Nadel, who's publishing, who just runs Picture Box and is publishing my Walrus art book, he has a knack for calling me up when I'm only listening to the most embarrassing music. And so I was actually listening to I was playing Red Hot Chili Peppers Californication. He called up, and I just answered the phone like, "Hello, shame." These neighbors need to stop playing this awful music.
Just a minute.
And
you're
you
big...
told him what you got. You got to stick it to his mama. And...
No, that's earlier Chili Peppers. Yeah. We're talking Navarro era.
Yeah, I don't
Chili
even
Peppers.
Like the earlier stuff. It's like I have. Sometimes I'd listen to really like. Sometimes I've admitted to my shame that I'll listen to the new Guns N' Roses album. Although today I found out that Robin doesn't like AC/DC, which is weird because I feel like AC/DC is one of those bands that is generally universally liked. And I
associate it with idiots who drive big trucks.
Yeah, those cool guys.
I have a real.
Yeah, they just straight up rock.
Have you considered that, Robin? That they just straight up. Have you straight up rock. Have you typed that information into your computertron?
Google does
bands
AC/DC
straight up rock.
Yeah,
I just really have a hard time with general rock music.
And last time we were
metal.
Here, you guys were defending ABBA. Because there's a line in the sand.
ABBA!
ABBA!
I like how we're circling around comics. We're like, we'll talk about comic conventions. Yeah. We'll talk about.
I'm sure there's
music.
A comic about AC/DC.
There is, actually. There was in the early 90s, there was a company that did. They did two things. They did the rock and roll comics, where they do these really horrible bio comics about a band. Right. And then they'd also do porn star comics.
Did they do Glass Tiger?
Right, but that sounds good. There was the manga JoJo's Bizarre Adventure actually had a car named AC/DC in it as like one of the evil cars in a race. And the other one was named after a band too, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, wasn't there that post-apocalyptic movie that was all AC/DC soundtrack and like the cars were coming to attack them?
Maximum Overdrive.
That sounds good.
There we go.
Should we get into comics? Is it time to get into comics?
Why don't I...
There's no time.
Mention 604-822-8648 to donate for the CITR funding drive. A little bit about my experience here at CITR. I've been here over 7 years now. I started the show when I was starting university at a later age.
He was 11 years old.
Yeah, I should have gone when I was 10. My family is very disappointed in me.
They didn't have the money.
There we go. Yeah, there's no government funding for 10-year-olds in universities. No. I'm like Doogie Howser, yo. And so it's been really fun being able to do this show. I've been able to interview almost 500 cartoonists, maybe more than that by now.
And a couple of musicians as well.
I was joking on Twitter earlier that in an alternative universe, I'd be interviewing weirdo musicians instead of cartoonists.
Who's the most famous... Two-part question. First part, who's the most famous cartoonist who also does
first
music? Pac.
Thug Life.
Who's the most famous musician who does comics, and who's the most famous cartoonist who does music?
Well, Rob Zombie clearly
is both.
Okay, wait. Okay, yeah? First, most famous interview? Okay, what was the first question again?
No,
he wasn't talking about you. Is there a way to qualify the most famous interview? Because you've done people from such a different section.
I'd say Ralph Steadman.
He does music?
No.
No, you're just... But, I mean, you've talked to Spiegelman a bunch of times, and, like Spiegelman slept on your couch for a week, didn't he?
Spiegelman doesn't do music either.
It's where you're the nickname Fart Spiegelman.
Aw.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it either.
Chris Ware plays the banjo or something.
And I should do a reminder that these is the Art Spiegelman show up in Vancouver Art Gallery right now, if you like
farts,
to...
as we call them.
If you like to see some of his fart jokes. He actually did a comic that's all about some guy that couldn't stop pooping. Or not couldn't stop pooping. Something to do with poop, and... He doesn't like to talk about that comic very much anymore.
Nice.
Yeah, he has shit jokes. Okay, most famous cartoonist that did music?
In history.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of guys like Crumb plays the banjo, right?
Yeah.
But is there someone who's more famous?
Rap rock, I think.
who was more famous at music than him? He's only famous, but...
Oh, you mean at music?
Yeah, yeah.
At music?
There's a ton of musicians that are
Sally
like...
Or whatever.
There's a ton of like shitty...
Yeah,
Lowe's popular musician.
Lowe was pretty popular.
Did Thor draw his own comic, or did someone else draw?
I think someone else did.
Yeah,
I'd say Zach Sally's a good one, but I know there's probably more famous. I'm not going to say Kochalka because I don't think anyone outside of comics would actually listen to him.
Both are so time consuming that you can't really like make a career of both at once.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Zach stopped doing... Well, he has an album he did since Low, but...
Because, I mean, there's a ton of cartoonists that dabble in music and musicians that dabble in comics, but, I mean... And there's, like... I mean, I'm sure there's, like, the Umbrella Academy guy or whatever.
Daniel Johnson.
Guys that just, like... You know, I'm famous now. Let me do a crappy Dark Horse book.
Oh, Jared Way?
Yeah.
Do you ever see the interview between?
I've never actually heard his music. I just assume it's crappy. Cause
there's a video
it's
between
not rap.
Him and between him and Chris Ware, and it's the most awkward thing because it's like, what do these guys have in common?
I did see an interview with him where he's talking about when he first met Grant Morrison, and he was such a douchebag. It was amazing. He was like, I was in a hallway just waiting for him with a big stack of comics, and Morrison walks in like a rock star wearing like a rubber vest or something. And just like, at what point don't you just turn around and be like, I don't need to talk to this guy?
What Brandon isn't telling people that he's actually wearing all rubber right now.
That's a different though.
He's wearing it's a gimp suit. It's totally.
This is a sex
it's a
thing,
lifestyle.
Bro. Yeah. Get weird.
Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM. Just call in 604-822-8648 to donate. And some of the books you can get at the $30 level, you can get Infinite Kung Fu by K.K. McLeod or Any Empire by Nate Powell. Castle Waiting by Linda Medley, Package of Cinema Sewer, and Sleazy Slice Comics from Robin Bougie, a Charlie Brown Christmas Thing from Charles Schultz.
That's adults only.
Yeah, we will be checking your ID. At the
Charlie
75...
Charlie Brown Town. Have you read the Nate Powell book?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I really like his work, but I haven't read that one.
Everything Nate Powell does is fantastic.
He has a really good knack for... his work feels... kind of sad and southern in a way that I can't connect to anyone else's cartoony work, and it's really impressive.
You really want to give it a hug.
Yeah, and just as a guy, he's one of those guys that if you really like his work and if it connects with you, then meeting him just adds so much to that. And I really enjoy that with cartoonists, when you're like have a connection with them, and then they as people are just add on to it. It's fantastic.
We did a panel last year at Emerald City, me and Brandon, and then we also had Moritat, Mike Elred, and Nate Powell there, and it was about being influenced by cartoonists. And Nate Powell did this great story about how he first read this Chester Brown book, and he read it in the bathroom on the toilet and started crying when he finished it.
That's appropriate.
Yeah.
It's entirely appropriate.
What book was it? Was it the prostitute book?
No.
Was he crying
read the footnotes?
Liked it so much? Yeah.
I think it was I Never Liked You.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That one's set.
I forget. Was that his first exposure to where? I mean,
to Brown?
Yeah.
Maybe. It could have been, yeah.
Because yeah. I remember when Brown first came out, and his... It's interesting, because his kind of... I think a lot about how people are kind of presented. They present themselves as cartoonists, and he's someone whose kind of image and of himself that he puts out in his work has changed so dramatically
shifts,
over the years.
Yeah,
because he was such a... Like, he was such a... I don't want to say he was like a young Paul Pope, but he had that like... Mm-hmm. I don't think he was pushing it in the same way that Pope does, but he has like a guy with long hair who's doing these like weirdo. Sexy comics about weird stuff, and then it kind of progressed to... I wonder sometimes if the scenes that people put their work in kind of mold the type of work they end up doing. Like, I always wonder that about the Hernandez brothers, if what their work would have been like if they went to like Dark Horse instead of Fantagraphics.
I don't think Dark Horse existed then.
Or say another publisher. Just say, you know...
Eclipse?
Vortex, I don't know.
They did. They didn't get paid.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, their work, you know, especially Jaime's work, really got more... It felt like he was aware that his work was being seen as very mature, so he went in a mature direction, where it started out basically them doing, like, these heavy metal fan comics.
Mm-hmm.
But you think the publisher changed what Chester Brown
scene.
Was doing?
Just the...
No.
I don't think Chester Brown's ever been a part of any scene.
I don't. I mean, I think he was part of a scene, though. He was part of... Yeah, I mean, he had
well, I guess he was
Seth
like
and
Joe Matt,
and those guys around.
Yeah.
And just kind of the environment you're in kind of affecting the work and...
Just the sad weirdos you hang out with.
Well, yeah. I mean, his work almost became... It started out as feeling like something more alien from the rest of the comic scene, and then kind of became something that
became
can...
Became more that style, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing at all. I just wonder if it was... How much the scene affected the work?
Well, it takes a while to like figure out where you slot into things too. You know, like
right.
Isn't that kind of
yeah.
like?
But then, like the kind of the wild energy of those like early comics and like the weird ideas all coming together and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I think they were better, honestly. Like,
I mean, it's my favorite stuff, but also it feels more like the kind of work I try to do. So, yeah. I mean, that's really biased. Like, I love how. You know, the original Yummy Fur really feels like a series of short stories, and they tie
and
together.
They all come together. Yeah,
yeah. And I do you know Robin if he planned that very far ahead, or if they were just kind of done? Did he see one?
Doesn't seem like.
I think for the most part it was pretty just go with the flow.
Because it's really spectacular stuff.
Yeah, it was very surreal improv. Like, He may have had some basic ideas, but I think a lot of it's just, especially the early stuff, like The Man Who Couldn't Stop.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. So it's, there's this, you know, this alternate universe that the alternate universe Ronald Reagan finds a wormhole, basically, to start putting all of their feces in, basically their sewer system into. And it turns out that's a guy's, like, rectum in our universe. And so he just cannot stop shitting. And there's a short story, which you see that story. And then there's another story where this guy who's obsessed with werewolves. He's very paranoid that werewolves are going to get him. And so this guy is, like, running down the street trying to get to a bathroom because he can't stop shitting. And the guy thinks it's a werewolf growing a tail. And so, like, he attacks him and they go to jail together. And the guy, his shit fills the entire cell and, like, kills them both. And then the story continues.
And then Ronald Reagan falls into the feces pit.
Yeah, and ends up as the main character, the head of the main character's penis.
Ed the Happy Clown, which you can find from Drawing Quarterly Books.
That is really a fantastic book if you haven't read it.
It is. They just released it in a hardcover volume, and it's quite nice.
Yeah, if all you've ever seen is paying for it, then you've got something else to see.
I mean, I'm paying for it really messed with my concept of him as a cartoonist because I didn't. It made me like him less. Where I was like, I was really committed to him as a cartoonist and as a person. And I read that book, and I was like, oh, this guy's a
kind of weird.
Yeah, he's kind of a creep who has weird ideas about
at least he's honest,
sex workers. Yeah, he's honest. I don't know. There's a little dishonesty in that.
There's a lot.
There's some lying to yourself about the people who you're fucking and who they are and them not necessarily being in the best position. Mm-hmm. You know, because I mean, sex workers in Canada are not. I mean, Robin, you probably know a lot more about than I do. And
it's your birthday.
I didn't mean it like that. I mean that Robin's an actual Canadian that lived here his entire life and pays for sex.
Brandon. I think I can do a song break. 604-822-8648. The money goes towards the station, not me. Just to be clear. Back, Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. Do you want to tell us about that music we just listened to, Daniel?
Oh. Klaus Dinger. He's the drummer for Noi. Led a solo career afterwards. Started La Dusseldorf with his brother.
Noi way!
Yeah. Had a band with his brother called La Dusseldorf, who were arguably as good, if not better, than Noi.
What's and the argument then, for it?
Listening to it.
Oh.
Kick ass. And then you, later on in the 80s, he released an album called Neondian that is pretty good. It's more a Led Dusseldorf style, kind of 80s'd out. It's got a Led Dusseldorf song on it. Klaus Dinger was crazy.
Is that the Cha-Cha one?
Cha-Cha 2000, yeah.
Has he ever been around or involved in anything that didn't have a ridiculous name that you could make a
10-year-old... Dinger.
make a 10-year-old piss themselves by telling...
I don't think any German ever has.
I think that's how all the World Wars were started. My older brother has a horrible thing he likes to say where he says, Germany. Wouldn't have a world war without him.
Inkstud CITR 101.9 FM 604-822-8648 to donate. We're at $22,603.80. Our fund drive goal is $30,000.
Let's get that up to 90 cents by the end of the hour.
We promise we'll stop for another $7,000.
That never works.
No.
And people just find that obnoxious.
No, I'm sorry.
They're like, already obnoxious. I can wait.
Yep, I can wait you out. I don't know if we've had any donations during the show, but I hope we have.
Donate. We've got a wall of answers.
Yeah, we've got a wall of reasons. Pick one there, Daniel. Which one should we follow?
We support local arts and music.
There we go. And local art. We have three local artists here in the studio joining me today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and local. This is local. This is me covering local stuff. Although Brandon's an international superstar with the ego to match it.
Yeah, he doesn't need your money.
No. My ego is actually international waters now.
can we do gambling there or something? Is that how it works?
Murder someone on international waters? I make a lot of my money by actually holding servers that have a lot of distasteful, we'll say, content on them.
Distasteful?
Yeah.
AKA the internet.
Yeah. The internet. Yeah. The end.
Dirty pair movies.
What was your favorite purchase again at the comic convention?
That wasn't
this
a purchase, that was a gift. This guy, James, that I met, who was just a really cool artist, gave me a Dirty Pair porn fan comic that I was a little bit too happy to get. And I was just, and I got some really cool comics. I think a lot of people gave me some really amazing things. I got a Karis One album that somebody gave me.
For your record player?
Yeah, well, I need to get a record player. But I have a couple cool records now, so it's about time. And it's cool because I got a propped up against my wall next to my wife's comics. So it's you know, it's criminal minded.
What's the other records you got? Sessions with Voices?
What's that?
You got some SWV?
Oh, yeah, no, my friend Cheryl gave me a bunch of SWV albums because she's awesome. And now I'm wallowing in the SWV, Sessions with Voices.
There we go. Wallowing. That doesn't sound favorable.
No, it's good. It's how you... It's look, if you knew Sisters with Voices like I know SWV, you'd understand.
There we go. Call 604-822-8648. Brian, you've been real quiet this week.
Yes, because you guys are talking about stuff I don't know about.
What do you know about?
Nothing.
Hockey?
Internet, hockey, I don't know.
Canadian music?
What do you know about Boots and Cats?
Boots and Cats and Boots. My friend Laura Foden from Internet taught me about that. That's how you beatbox when you don't know how to beatbox.
Boots and Cats?
Yeah, you can reverse it too if you want.
Cats and Boots?
And so what's Knockin' Boots?
That's the H-Town song.
Yeah.
It's the sensual lovemaking when two pairs of boots come together.
Are one of them Shania Twain's ex-husband's boots?
Oh.
He has something to do with AC/DC, just to turn it all back around.
Some body rocking, knocking them boots?
Yeah. Mutt Lang?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have another song break where we can play H-Town? Do you have any self-respect, Robin, is what I'm asking you? Should we talk comics, or should we get anyone on Twitter to ask us to talk about something specific so we're not just rambling about 90s R&B lovemaking songs?
Well, we got to get into the mood. We got to get people wanting to give us
that,
money.
What was that great thing where you accused Pope on Twitter of... I was calling... what was that group?
Is that why he resigned recently?
That's right.
It was the... I was listening to Nick Cave in The Office, and you called it Paul Pope sex music.
Yeah, that Paul Pope sex music. And you wrote him, and he was like, pretty accurate, as he's making slow, passionate love to his woman while listening to...
Inkstead's radio.
Yeah. Warren Ellis on a xylophone, I think.
Oh, Jesus. You had to bring up Warren Ellis.
I meant the other Warren Ellis.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about for...
Does he play the vibraphone?
Ukulele.
Hey, so that's a famous cartoonist, or, well, comics-related person. It's a musician.
No, they're different people. They're
different people.
They're completely different people.
It was actually a beaming accident. It's kind of weird. So, comic books.
Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. Call in 604-822-8648 to donate. I'm going to ask on Twitter if anyone has any questions. If you want to ask us questions on Twitter, just do @inkstuds and I will see it because we have the internet here in the studio.
Everybody should wish Robin a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Robin's Robin. Birthday.
And I brought you a present.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Robin, what comic book would you like people to read on your birthday? Is there anything that you embody as something personal that you really like, that something you recommend as a birthday recommendation?
Oh, my God. Oh, geez, I don't know. Read some Monera. Make it a happy birthday. Read some Milo Monera. Yeah.
Oh, we were talking earlier. Was it Click 4 where Angelina Jolie shows up?
Yep.
Makes sexual advances at her brother.
Yeah, and that's as far as we're going in with that one, Brandon. I'm sorry. I'm stopping you now.
Her brother breaks both of his arms and he can't pee, and she's got to help him.
Daniel just pulled out of his bag.
CITR.
Large brown phallic object.
It's chocolate. And I know Jen Vaughn's listening. Jen, you're going to be very happy about this. It is chocolate-infused, or alcohol-infused chocolate whip topping.
Nice.
Don't refrigerate it. It gets runny, apparently.
I noticed what? That.
It's best set room temperature.
I had a realization while talking to Jen. Jen Vaughn works at Fantagraphics, and she's a very cool lady. And I had a realization that when I talk to her, I say the most horrible things imaginable, and I hope that...
Which is terrible, because she's, like, the nicest person. I've done that, too, where I've just said horrible things about people, and she just kind of, like, looks at me and goes, mm-hmm,
I don't know,
just kind of moves on with the conversation.
I'm sure she can take... I think her sense of humor kind of pushes it, but I don't know why I'm guilting the fucking... But I referred to her as Team Dick last time. Because she was talking about working with her lesbian coworker and Team Dick and Team Pussy and everything. And so I just thought it was like cool to be like, hey, Team Dick. And I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that.
No, that's actually...
I'd like to publicly apologize to Jen on the radio.
Yeah, maybe the whole Fantagraphics office.
I'd like, yeah. I'd like to apologize to the Institute of Fantagraphics.
There we go. And
the Eros line.
And the Eros line. I think the Eros line should apologize.
I'd like to apologize to Crack Whore.
That was an Eros comic that we'll leave alone. I want to mention that Jen is actually coming up to Vancouver on March 19th to join Brandon here and Emily Carroll and me at the Art Gallery. We're doing a talk on comics as part of the Art Spiegelman show. That's going to be March 19th, a Tuesday night at the Vancouver Art Gallery, 7 o'clock. And because it's on a Tuesday night at the Vancouver Art Gallery, it's the donation, so pay what you can. Or don't pay what you can. I don't care.
Yeah, wooden nickels. It should be fun, too. Emily just put out a really good new comic on her website. You should look up emilycarroll.com, I think. And she did this... she did kind of an adaption of a Three Leaves fairy tale about these magical leaves that bring people back to life. And the way that she kind of plays with the medium, and it is really, really exciting. It's just like... She's one of those cartoonists that every time I read something by her, it makes me feel like I need to kind of try a lot harder.
Yeah. No kidding.
She's fantastic. I'm really happy that... all you guys are going to be joining me on there. I think it'll be a fun discussion. I'm hoping you're supposed to. I didn't even talk to you about this. You got to talk about your comics for 10 minutes, too.
Oh, like, it's so hard for me to talk.
Yep.
Not very many people know this, but Brandon Graham is a comic book artist.
I thought he was a football player.
Yeah. Oh, he is, too.
Tell us about the problems of Googling your name.
When he's in blackface.
Inappropriate.
Oh, you went there.
There's a black man with the same name as me, which is, I felt totally ashamed because when I went to L.A. at one point, I stayed with a friend of mine who told his girlfriend that he was like, oh, Brandon's coming to stay, and she goes, white Brandon, and I was like, oh, come on, Brandon, like how many, like, you know, I'd never met a black guy named Brandon, and then you know, the Brandon Graham, the football player, basically changed his name to shame me, just so she could get me back for that.
Yeah. I'm going to start calling you White Brandon. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Is everyone going to be Brian?
No,
you approve?
Nobody likes that.
No, up. White Brandon.
Shut up, White Brandon.
That is exactly how nicknames are formed, is when everyone goes, yeah, maybe, and the person whose nickname it's to be goes, no, definitely not. That's how it's done.
Yeah, that's how it sticks.
There we go. So next time you see Brandon at anything, call him White Brandon.
You're supposed to be like, I don't care, call me whatever.
Call me White Brandon and get a really close look at my hand. What's wrong with that?
And just a really fast lick if you can.
Hmm. Does it taste good?
Yeah, strawberries.
There we go.
It's a White Brandon thing.
Wow. Is this thing on? I'm here all week. 604-822-8648 to donate, and I'll just go over the comics quickly. Infinite Kung Fu by Keegan MacLeod, Any Empire by Nate Powell, Castle Waiting by Linda Medley, a package of Cinema Sewer and Sleazy Slices by Robin Bougie, Charlie Brown Christmas comic, a Koyama Press package, which is really sweet, includes a comic by our very own Brian Fukushima, as well as many other friends, including Michael DeForge, who else? Zach Wharton, Steve Wolfhard.
Oh, you got to get it for the Steve Wolfhard book.
Patty, oh, yeah, Patty Kyle.
That's fantastic.
There's some Wowie Zonk in there.
Oh, okay. Oh, did I tell you I had that'll a fun Chenkin interaction at the convention?
Can I finish my list?
No.
Heart of Thomas by Moto Hagio.
Oh, yeah, ask for Heart of Thomas.
From Hell by Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell. Blankets by Craig Thompson. And Humbug, edited by Harvey Kurtzman.
Go for that. Or the Koyama.
The Koyama. Too. Yeah, the Koyama is actually probably the best stuff on there.
Brandon, tell your story now.
I think last time I was on the show, I bragged about how I got to be on a panel with Chenkin, which was a really big deal to me. It was a really fun panel, and there's a video of it online and everything with bad audio. But the kick I got is after it, I kind of went up to him and shook his hand and said, I'm a big fan of your work. And he goes, oh, fuck you, don't do that. Which I thought was really charming.
You were kind of hoping that he'd make you cry, weren't you?
No, I was, yeah, I kept, I talked about this before. I'd seen Chenkin at conventions before. And he's one of those guys that, you know, when you're a child, you kind of look up to someone a lot. And he was somebody whose work I grew up on. And so just casually going up to him was very... I just never kind of had this one. I didn't have the nerve to talk to Wendy Pinney.
Yeah.
But I kept trying to go up to her, and she had very specific,
she's intimidating.
Yeah, she had
you should have just come up with your comics and just say, I love you, and then walk away. Didn't?
No, I would have, but she had this weird sign that was like, don't talk, no eye contact until 2:30. So I kept
it
walking.
Was, It was like when I was at a convention and my friend went up to Adam Hughes and was told to come back later because he's eating a Subway sandwich.
No, this
sandwich.
Is a good cartoonist, though.
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, let's be mean to anyone that worked on Before Watchmen. I don't mind. Uh-huh. Make him cry. I don't know what to do with this whip topping. I was just looking at the...
Let's huff it.
Let's huff
what,
it.
What not to do?
Alcohol whippets. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, cream. Let's see what happens. Does it say that on there? It's like what? Stuff you can do with this. Alcohol whippets.
No, but it's whippets.
Oh, come on.
Just for the health content, 90 calories for 32 grams.
Grams.
That's a lot of calories.
That's more calories than grams, that's for sure.
That's
that's me.
Oh. Stop eating the soda pops or drinking them. I don't know. Inkstud, CITR, call in 604-822-8648 to donate, and you will get comics for donating. And also, I have copies. Three copies left of the Horror Hangover zine, celebrating the Horror Hangover art show. I hope to do an art show again one day. Find the right space, and it will happen.
Nice. Oh, just this morning I got a really cool email. I was looking at Matt Sheehan and Malachi Ward sent me the new backup they're doing. Ooh. For the next Prophet. It's the second part of their Care thing about this guy who is kind of, there's this giant monster that kind of creates the atmosphere for this planet, and they have to keep the monster alive by offering him people. Like, they have a lottery and people have to go into him, and it's about this guy, what happens to a guy when he goes into the monster, and it's really fascinating science fiction in a direction that I'd never quite seen.
Because they never show you that part. It's always escaping the monster. It's never,
yeah, exactly. So this is, I was really impressed by the stuff they're doing, and those, yeah, those two just they work together in a really fascinating way where you it's hard to delineate who does what. And I was really blown away. It's kind of makes me want to do, it's like I get a backup by them and I'm like, man, now I have to make I really want to push how weird the ideas in the actual book are.
It's good comics. Malachi Ward, Matt Sheen are doing some of my favorite stuff right now.
Yeah, they're really impressive. And they did something in your Horror Hangover book as well.
Yes, well,
Malachi did, yeah.
Malachi.
The most disturbing image in the book is, yeah, my Malachi Ward.
The great thing about that piece is the art hadn't even arrived in the mail, and we sold it anyways. Yeah. Well, just off great. A computer printout.
Nice.
Off a Xerox. And don't forget, tomorrow night at Dynamo.
Dynamo. Jeffy.
Daniel will have the Sandwiches art show featuring 30 different 30 20
20, 20 yeah,
a couple.
There's a handful of art
sandwiches.
There's a genre, and there's some, yeah, there's actually gonna be sandwiches, tiny finger sandwiches. There's gonna be,
Brandon's
fun.
In
fun.
Is it food?
And books for sale. Come buy a book.
Books for sale. It's a very lively book. I'm very excited that it's finished and out, and I look forward to reading it. Jen wants me to ask about the breaking into comics is now breaking into living off comics that you mentioned in the panel.
I did, because that was something I thought. It was a little dismissive of people, because it was a bunch of people on a panel that live off of comics, and they were like, there's no breaking into comics, just do comics, which is a great mentality and everything. But there is a dramatic, I just brought up the point, there's a dramatically different thing between getting paid to do what you love and having to draw your comics and then go to a day job that you hate. Mm-hmm. And it's important to kind of respect that. And sometimes it's better to do it for the work, to not put money on it. And it's important to kind of talk about that, but also not to...
So it was like overly dismissive of...
Oh, the whole panel was horrible.
I liked the panel. I won't say that. It was very agreeable, and I wasn't particularly...
The one guy that writes fables, Bill Willingham, they're bringing up the topic of how there's a really big problem with diversity in comics. And
that was horrible.
Yeah. And his response, he's very, like, American conservative, do shit yourself and you'll be successful.
Do shit yourself.
Yeah, and,
it's
like...
It's not going to get clean any other way.
And so he said, yeah, there's diversity in comics. There's comics I like and there's comics I don't like.
No, he said within... His point was that... Within Marvel and DC, there's comics that he did like and comics he hated. And so within that group of middle-aged white heterosexual men, there's so much diversity of quality, he was saying, which I would dramatically disagree. And I didn't quite want to say it on the panel that I don't read any of your work. And no, there's actually a couple guys in there whose work I like. But
you like his dolphin sex comic.
I like... I actually don't like Elementals. I liked his going down on a centaur Ironwood comic. And I love looking at someone who's making stances on
who's really douching it themselves
on quality and just be like this guy spent at least like 10 hours of his life drawing a man going down on a centaur.
So I mean, is that viewpoint just like is it like dishonest by doing that, or is it just kind of like
I don't
they
think
don't
it's
know
dishonest at all? I think it's coming from
is it ignorant or is it dishonest? Which one?
It's coming from a place of comfort where
privilege.
Yeah, it's totally coming from a place of privilege where you're like, well, I'm comfortable and I got into comics in this. And you're not, I mean, obviously he's not thinking about it. I had a moment at the convention. I was talking to this interesting cartoonist who it's a black guy who was talking about breaking into comics and everything, whose name I'm spacing right now. And I pointed out they set up this row that was Corey Lewis, me, Jim Mahfood, and Scotty Young. And I was like, I just want to point out something to you. These guys, not Corey per se, but these guys in this row here are seen as like the hip-hop guys in comics. And I was like, what color are they?
Mm.
It's like, you know, guys, yeah, I mean, it's in ton of how that's kind of the comfort of people bring in who they're comfortable with and how it's important to kind of get out of your comfort zone because you need real diversity in the work and you need to get work in that you might necessarily have a door open for work that doesn't appeal to you because actual diversity in an art form is so important and not allowing that is just, you know, chokes out the possibilities.
And there's no sense in being safe either, because where does that ever get you?
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think nobody knows. There's not, it's difficult having that conversation when you're talking to people who don't understand that there's a problem. And
right.
People that, you know, when you talk about, like, you know, why are there so few minority cartoonists or cartoons from cartoonists that are from coming from a different perspective in the kind of conversation in the thing, and they'll talk about, you know, well, we talk about the submissions we get, or, you know, those people just don't like to make comics, which is ridiculous because if you're at a convention, you can find people from every walk of life doing really fantastic work.
I just there's an artist in my book, not to be a promo thing, named Puck, and I just sort of discovered that there's a Thai underground comic scene. I was really impressed, and
it's everywhere, man.
They're really interesting. Like, it's kind of this really grungy kind of underground comic style, but it's coming from like street level Thailand. And
what kind of comics are they looking at?
It's kind of like a mix between manga and like sort of raw magazine underground kind of thing.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's really good. I kind of expected a lot of kickboxing and stuff, and it wasn't like that at all.
That's why internet is so important. It's like everyone's the democratic voice of, you know.
Yeah, a while back, I think I talked on here before, I saw Mexican manga, and I was so excited about the possibilities of where that could go.
Yeah. I've always wondered, is there like an African underground comic scene
that I'm sure
can find out about? I've never been able to find it.
You think with
anything.
The internet, there's got to be a
lot
there's
of
there's
like, yeah, they're like independent tapes and
but,
stuff.
You know, you think about Canada, and there's like a million dudes in Quebec doing stuff that we just don't know because it's different
it's
language
French,
or it's
yeah.
too far away or whatever. They don't come to the same conventions or something, and it's like this is a whole other thing.
Well,
you go
practically Africa.
It might as well be. Yeah.
That's what they say about Quebec, yeah.
Yeah, but it's really... Remember that book that came out that was the kind of comics from all over the world? It was the big red book that came out around...
Expo, 2000. The 2000, L'Association collection.
Yeah, that was really fascinating because it was, good. What, 1,000 pages and each... And it was just cartoonists from countries that you'd never even heard of in there. And they're all silent comics, so you could read them.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was really
I really regret not picking it up when I saw it. It's a really gorgeous book.
It's really just an amazing idea to put together. Because, I mean, that's something that would just... I mean... Just to show the breadth of working cartoonists is really nice.
Now I'm going to remind people, the funding drive is still going on. I think we're winding up here. There's supposed to be some kind of show here at 3 o'clock, and it's past 3 o'clock, so I don't know what's going on.
Taking over, man.
Taking over.
We just do like 24-hour Ink Studs. That's cool, right?
We can keep. If you guys want to keep going,
it's
can keep going until
all
someone
all
comes
All we have
in.
To eat is this... cream this can of cream.
Let's do
I'm
it.
I'm gonna
let's,
get so fat and so drunk.
Let's drain that thing and see if we catch a buzz. I don't
let's
know.
Drain the cream right out of that.
I don't know if we're allowed to have food in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a problem.
Footh.
I saw this what was it, some kind of Delta Force type show, and the guy was on a
is this
a
the
bomb.
Unit?
Yeah, it was the unit. I thought it was about someone's junk, and so I watched 20 episodes of it, and I was like, when's this gonna get saucy? But there's a thing where he's like on the he's on the at like a mine basically in this guy's office with like a birthday cake in front of him that might explode. Your birthday theme. Happy birthday, Robin. And
They brought you a bong. Yeah.
Yeah, brought you a bong.
Oh, thank God it's not a bong again. I don't smoke weed.
It's a bong that explodes. and they put a drip into his neck to be like, we need to keep you hydrated, man. So we need to do that with like a birthday cake.
There we go.
Just on outside of the studio.
I think I saw someone walking towards the booth. So on that note, I'm going to end us off with, I was listening to Nico's Desert Shore album today on my way to work, and it's a lovely album.
Excellent.
It's a sad album.
Feel free to turn this off and put on H-Town, though.
No. Please keep listening. 604-822-8648 to donate.
After? Somebody rocking, knocking them boots.
What about Crazy Town?
Oh. No Crazy Town. Thanks, guys.
Crazy to think Crazy Town.
Brian, Brandon, Daniel.
Thank you.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Robin.
Happy birthday.
This summer sand at dawn, unlocking flooded silver cages. And with a silver dinner rise, and the lovely silver traces erase my empty pages.
Oh, Nico, you're such a bummer.
Way to die in a bicycle.
Who wants to party?
I do have chocolate whippets.
Are you guys familiar with Galaxy Rangers, the cartoon?
No.
There's a character in it named Nico who's the psychic character. She's like the Jean Grey, and I always hoped that it was the Velvet Underground. I assume it was because it was the 80s.
Did she have a fringe?
Yeah, she had the knee, but she had brown hair.
So did Nico.
So did I lied before the song and said we were going off air.
Wasn't
and then
a lie? You just didn't know.
I didn't know. And then they said, hey, do you want to keep going? So we're going to keep going for another half hour or 20 minutes at this point. Ink Studs, normally we go from 2 to 3, but now we're going from 2 to 2:30. I actually did it for about 6 months where they didn't have a show at 3 o'clock. It was exhausting doing like an hour and a half interview live on air. I was very tired.
That's why you need three people to talk about dumb stuff.
You guys are like my my hype crew.
Oh, yeah.
To
yeah,
fill anyone, it with filth.
Yeah. You should have anyone ask on Twitter if we have any other bullshit that I can rant about.
There we go. Get Brandon ranting because he's so eloquent and intelligent, and I'm not being sarcastic.
I wanted to ask Brian what you did for Koyama.
Oh, yeah.
What did I do?
What did you do to Koyama?
Where is the Koyama?
No, what
long,
did they
awkward
What
hugs.
Did they publish of yours? I guess?
Oh, it's Serial. It's called Serial. Yeah, it's about a Serial mascot.
Oh, okay.
It's a little mini comic. Yeah, it was fun. I did that last year when I lived in Toronto, and it was at TCAF. And it's still kicking around, and I hate it. Want to make something new, so I will do it. I actually just
what a good selling feature.
Yeah, no, I don't. This is you know how it is.
Did you end up spending much time with the Beguiling while you're there?
Some, a little bit. I was mainly broke, so you know I was
so
there.
You're
but
one
I,
of those guys,
kind
of
like
hanging out. Yeah, that's what I do at comic stores.
Yeah.
A friend of mine just got hired. I think one day a week at the Beguiling. My friend Chris.
Chris Singh. We miss you.
Oh, is he in Toronto now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I worked with him at Terminal City. He was the editor there, and
yeah,
I was art director.
Cool. Mm. He was my landlord for a while, and we would complain about comics together.
I heard you guys both really enjoyed Barry Blair comics. See how I reversed that?
Huh? No, I, as a kid, when I was a teenager, I bought the non-adult version. Barry Blair's kind of famous for doing kind of creepy images of young characters.
Yeah,
and he put out an adult comic, Leather and Lace, in the 80s. And released a non-adult version of it, which is basically like a sexy comic with the sex scenes cut out.
Oh,
it was really weird. And I was buying it like I was a weird kid with my comics.
Yeah, because you're buying Barry Blair.
Is it called like Chair and Doily or something?
It was called Leather and their names. I mean, yeah.
I had a fun moment at the
Leather and Place.
There we go. I was hanging out at the Fantagraphics table for a bit during the convention.
Do you remember Saxon Violence? Saxon Violence? And the characters
were
Saxon Violence. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just a horrible comic.
Yeah, I actually saw Kurt Busiek tweeting about that and why isn't there a special hardcover edition of it.
You know why.
Because it's called Saxon
shame.
Violence. I was
Did
at the
one of them play the saxophone?
That would be so
the,
good.
They
the alto
sax. In the comic.
Was that Cotton Eye Joe, whoever did that song, I forget now. The album was
Where did you come from?
The album was called Sex and Violins.
Where did he go?
Is that the grid?
He went to his own personal ring of hell. Anyone know what Robin, you were saying?
I was at the Fantagraphics table visiting friends, and someone came up and asked for cherry Pop-Tart, and I was like, And my favorite part is the staff didn't even know what it was.
Oh, well,
no, that's kind of
I was like, wow, I just felt a big generation gap there.
Weird, because I feel like cherry Pop-Tart's one of those cornerstones. I actually read that before I got into Archie, really.
Yeah, totally.
So I felt like when I read the Archie
Stole
comics,
from my
I was
older
like,
brother.
Yeah, where's the boners?
Yeah. Just Archie's pals in Blue Balls.
Yeah.
Poor Jughead.
Mm.
Jughead didn't care, man.
Yeah, he was in Hamburgers.
Yeah.
And speaking of hamburgers, sandwiches.
What if Riverdale had J-Fish?
Oh, J-Fish would actually work well in Riverdale.
We'd clean up.
Yeah. Remember, donate 604-822-8648. I think we...
There's no thicker ladies in Rivendell.
There's
though.
The one, but... they added the one recently, and it's kind of like...
It's sad. She's got a sad life kind of thing.
She's not like J-Fish. J-Fish needs like a sassy big lady.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm changing the topic, guys.
Why? We're supportive of sassy big ladies.
This isn't your show anymore, McConnell.
Oh, no.
Commandeered Inkstuds.
They've taken over. I'll just turn off my own mic and cry. I have a question from the Twitters. Charmaine Verhagen. Did I pronounce it right?
No.
Yeah, she's your roommate.
I guess. I don't ever really hear her say her last name. So
Don't just yell at each other last name.
You have to force Verhagen.
Yeah.
Shimo, do the dishes.
Yeah, well.
Brandon, what is your favorite kind of tar?
Wait a minute.
This is a setup. But thank you for asking.
Black tar heroin.
Fox tar heroin. me and my dear friend Emily Carroll, and who's a fine cartoonist, have bonded over not only our love of Ranma 1/2, but our love of fox tars. And they're ridiculous because, you know, they're centaurs that are it's like a anthropomorphic humanoid fox on top and then like a fox body on it. So they have like 17 centipede legs. And the other interesting thing about fox tars
who wouldn't want to screw that?
And then sometimes they draw them in jeans. So the guy who invented fox, it was actually invented by Harlan Ellison.
So whoever uses it's going to get sued by Harlan Ellison.
Wouldn't it be great if you were sued over fox tars? I would love to go to court.
It's like, you're right. It's your idea. Here's all my money.
The state of Pennsylvania versus V fox tars.
I did a song about fox tars for Ian Anderson, who is a cartoonist, and he just put out a mini comic.
You played on the fox guitar, right?
He just put out a mini comic on internet through Gumroad, which is where I put some of my stuff, and that is a cool little site to put your mini comics and have people buy them.
What site is that?
Gumroad. Yeah,
talk about that experience and what you've been doing on there.
You can. It's for selling anything really. But a few other cartoonists have started putting like mini comics up, just PDFs, and you can make it pay what you want, or you can set a price, and people just can pay by credit card, and it gets just you get paid to your PayPal, and they pay out every couple weeks. So they take a little cut of it, but you don't have to set up a website or anything. You just upload a thing, you make an account, you upload it, set a price, and then the money rolls in every 2 weeks. And I did a sketchbook that I scanned and I put up, and it did okay. And I mean, there was no overhead for me really, you know. And so cartoonists are starting to do Zach Gorman did one, and Mario Domo did put one up like that. And
all right, what was Mario's comic?
It was just like a bunch of stuff that he had done. He just collected it into one thing, and it was great. It was like, I don't know, 60 pages.
Love his
Twitter feed.
No, yeah, his Twitter feed is amazing too. But his his Pokemon comics about Ash,
yeah,
like kind of his relationship with his estranged father.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, actually, Charmaine's work. Does she have a website? Because her work is really
She
fantastic.
Has a Tumblr, I think.
Charmaine V on the Tumblr.
V-E-E.
Yeah, I always think about her. I tell her this way too much, but I always think about her comic she did where she's hanging out with a guy she has a crush on, and at the door he says, "All right, good night, dude." And the dude just hangs in the air after he walks away, and she's like looking at it. And it's such a fantastic comic of kind of playing with lettering.
She's great. And she's my roommate, and I get to see her drawings in my home, and I feel lucky.
Just her drawings?
Well, she has a job, and I don't, so, you know.
That sounded a little sensual. I don't know if that's appropriate.
I was trying to make it inappropriate. Right.
My good friend Jordan
Bokan
posted a tar drawing on the internet that I think everyone needs to look. If you go to my Twitter feed,
Inkstuds.
I just retweeted it, Dirty Tar, the house cat tar.
That's amazing. I love Jordan.
It's so
Jordan
disgusting.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You like my six breasts there?
It's very...
You mean in the picture. Those are nice in the drawing, too.
The whole time, your breasts were actually dead.
604-822-8648 to donate. I still have a bunch of comics left. Give a call. Talk to our...
talk to the hand.
Oh. I think there's an after party on Friday night for this too at the Chapel Arts to tomorrow night, and there'll be chances to donate money towards CITR there. So it's a good thing to support if you
like to be there.
College Radio.
Is Peace playing at that?
Peace, Gal Grayson, Movie Land, Sleuth, Babysitter, Bank Robber, and more. What kind of names are these?
All the rest are
these?
Like job suggestions, but yeah. Peace is a pretty good band.
You should sleuth? Go see them. Do you want to be a sleuth or a babysitter or a bank
robber?
I think
Weed is playing as well. They're good. You should go
I think
see them.
Babysitter and Bank Robber should switch up their names so you get
Baby Robber.
Baby Robber and Bank Sitter.
Oh.
You listen to Baby Robber Bank Sitter on CITR. The Edge. I always think about the horror. I hope that the people that answer the phones don't actually have this on in there, because you need to make eye contact with them when you walk by. And I think they are apologizing.
That's why they didn't lift their head up when I walked by. No. Maybe I need to drink more of this alcohol-infused whipped topping.
To comic books. What have you been reading, Robin?
What have I been reading? I've been reading Dave Taylor comics.
Hey.
I've been reading his old Batman ones.
I thought you meant Dave Taylor, the... Kevin Taylor, the porn guy, I was thinking.
Yeah, no, none
not
of that.
The girl artist?
No, well, he draws some nice stuff.
Gorillas?
Girls.
Girl. Oh, yeah. He did some porn
when
comics.
Girl Illa.
Yeah.
There was a great heavy metal comic where a guy turns a gorilla into like a sexy girl, but she's got basically her head and chest are a blue
gorilla.
Woman, but she's got giant gorilla arms and legs. It was really well drawn.
This sounds like you had a very personal experience with that comic.
Yeah, not to brag about it.
The Dave Taylor stuff is pretty neat. The Batman run, because the first issue on it, Batman gets OD'd on ketamine.
Oh, nice.
So he's like in this weird...
Who hasn't?
It's like Catwoman gets him on ketamine.
Yeah.
Hey. Did Catwoman do it? That would be amazing.
No, it's
Catwoman and Batman totally did it originally.
No, if she like...
Got him on
like,
ketamine?
Yeah.
And give him
roofied Batman with ketamine.
That would be too
with
perfect.
Cat tranquilizer.
I think you have your next comic.
That's
Brandon.
Like if her and like the Scarecrow got together or whatever.
It was actually a villain called Narcosis.
Oh.
And he had this like weird white hood.
In Matt so Howard's Bugtown comics, wasn't it Narcosis Labs is where the bull daggers hang out?
No. I never read it.
Am I the only dude that reads Vortex like in here? What's that?
Isn't Narcosis just the Benz or whatever? Nitrogen Narcosis.
Oh. Did you ever hear the album?
Yeah.
They did a Savage, the Bulldaggers, they released an album that was supposed to be the band, and he wouldn't say who it was. Because Howarth was obsessed with kind of weird electronic. He always mentioned hating like Talking Heads in his thing, which was really weird.
Who's this?
Matt Howarth, this old 80s cartoonist who's really
Talking Heads are fine.
Talking Heads are
amazing. Yeah, no, I love Talking Heads, which that was kind of weird.
But he was like, if it's not Morton Subotnick, it's
well,
not
well, he was
for
really
me,
like he loved the Residents or characters in his comic.
Well, they're cool.
He had the band Yellow in there, too.
So he was just like a big Ralph Records supporter.
Yeah, no, Ralph was in there.
Oh, okay.
You know who was the president of the Residents fan club for years?
Ralph.
Matt Groening.
Oh, that, wow.
Has Groening drawn the Residents that I imagine?
Oh, I'm sure somewhere.
They're in an episode of The Simpsons.
Put a stamp on drawing someone else did it.
It's just anytime you see an eyeball head with a top hat.
That is really weird. Every time someone else does a like Simpsons comic, it always has a signature on it. Like he's
I think that was the contract. Yeah,
yeah, it's really. I mean, I guess
that's
it's
why
good
he's
to keep
a zillionaire.
Like Jim Davis, doesn't he have that?
Yeah, on his Garfield.
But Jim Davis has never drawn a line.
Is that true?
He's only drawn a line
in the sand.
He's drawn a line up his nose.
Ooh.
Oh.
Cocaine.
He didn't even draw those original Lumpy Garfields?
No, he probably did. I'm just
those are great.
Him.
Those are
bring
great.
Back Lumpy
I'm
Garfield.
Like, seriously, if you're listening to this, Jim Davis, I'm coming for you. Garfield make you feel Mondays.
Garfield used to be square-shaped, and now he's...
I liked Fat Garfield.
He was like squares, and then now he's just circles. He's just
ovals.
Like the poster, the Olympic whatever poster, just the characters that are just circles on top of circles. It's lazy.
Yeah.
Come on.
604-822-8648 donate.
Dave Taylor's cool.
Yeah, Dave Taylor's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited about interviewing him. I'm going to be talking to him next week.
We were talking about that's the tongue lash guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that one is weird because we were talking before about how it's a very Mobius-looking book in a way that kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I feel like there's that thing with Mobius where he's so innovative that he kind of shows you how to... It's like copying Mobius's art style directly feels like missing the entire point of him doing it. But I know that Taylor, for that one, they actually told him to draw like Mobius.
Yeah, and I think also he spent time with Mobius as like Mobius's assistant. Not assistant, but...
He was just sitting in his lap.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like petting him like a cat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll find out more, and you'll have to find out more listening to the Ink Studs. It'll be posted on inkstuds.org, and hopefully on here. On
maybe
the
that's who Narcosis is based on.
Mobius?
His relationship with Mobius.
Mobius got him doped up on ketamine. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's weird because the main character in Tongue Lash is just him redrawing a character from a Mobius Jodorowsky. What's that book?
The sexy one.
The sexy one.
Oh, Angel Claw?
Angel Claw, yeah.
The one where he draws like scenes from Madonna's sex book?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was really weird. There's an actual page drawn where he redrew a Madonna photograph. Isn't
it? Is it the one with Vanilla Ice?
No.
I need to see that.
I was actually thinking, like, I wonder if Mobius has ever drawn a Vanilla Ice, and for some reason just saying that made me think of that he did an incredible drawing of Star Wars Episode I characters, and I was like, just that Mobius has had to draw Qui-Gon in his life, like, after he was Mobius and already established, like, I hope they paid him in an island.
He did a lot of, like, film, idea-making kind of
Tron.
Stuff,
Tron?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, Tron. I feel like Tron is the best Mobius.
Him and Sid Mead or whatever?
Did him and Sid Mead work together?
Blade Runner?
Oh, yeah, Sid Mead.
Blade Runner, he didn't actually work on Blade Runner, but they based a lot of it off of his Long Tomorrow story.
With Dan O'Bannon, who wrote Alien.
Yeah, and there's the crossover in that where the, what are they called? The Octurians? In Aliens, they talk about Octurians as like, which are the actual shape-changing aliens in The Long Tomorrow. Mm. So it's this great crossover between these fantastic things. You know, and they're like, but the one you were with was male, but it doesn't matter if it's Arcturian. And there's this ridiculous thing in the Mobius comic where the Arcturian changes into the guy, and he's like, I can become anything you want to have sex with you, even yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing they always
do.
And
he blows her away.
Yeah, and they always do that in science fiction. Like, there's just, like aliens somehow got this misinformation that, like, humans are really, like,
they really like
really, themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, should I tell, I can talk
Is
about
that
my,
misinformation?
Wait, what?
That's pretty accurate.
I don't know.
I mean, you're a handsome dude. I can see how you could, like, be cool with that. But some people, like, you know, I got, like, black bars over the mirrors in my house, and I need to see it.
That's
shame.
But wouldn't you be, like, most comfortable with yourself? Maybe not.
No. I would be nitpicking. I'd just be like, look at how you look gross.
Yeah, interesting. You see yourself from all the wrong angles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's every angle.
Brian.
thank you so much. Now I'm going to bring us to a conclusion. Someone's actually coming on at 3:30. Brian Fukushima.
Hello. I mean, goodbye.
Oh, what? Oh. Brandon Graham.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
And Daniel Gendamaso.
Good night.
Don't forget, Sandwiches Afternoon. Art book opening tomorrow night at
Dynamo Jaffe.
Dynamo.
And I'm gonna
Christmas tree at Lightbulb Head.
Yeah, it's a really impressive book. I think people should check it out.
It is pretty awesome. Thanks, I'm going to leave us with Brandon's music pick because I don't know why I'm doing this.
I have a gun.
Oh, Brandon, what do I do with you sometimes? Thanks, guys. No, and call in 604-822-8648.
And you're welcome.
What's sweetie mean?
Well, knocking the boots actually means two boots coming together, making tasteful lust.
Yeah. We're doing this with all the ladies. H-Town boys. Kicking it with my boy Luke. For the 9-3, you know what I'm saying? Because we will be knocking the boots. Yeah, Shazam, Dino. They gon' do a little something for you real sexy like, you know what I'm saying? Hey, yo, check the verse.
Late night, I brought the back when we made good love. Listening to some Marvin Gaye all night long. Now I want that whole thing back. Make these moments once again perfect. So won't you, I do it for her, babe. Good loving body, rocking, knocking boots all night long. Hey. Making love until we're tired to the break of dawn. But oh, come on, oh, come on, turn the lights down. Get on it, yeah. Cause when I do to me and you, it'll be so right.
Give me some good love.
Somebody rockin', knockin' devils.
Give me some good love.
Somebody rockin',
baby. Give me some good love.
Somebody rockin', knockin' devils.
That's all I need, I need. Give me some good love.
Somebody rockin', knockin' devils.
I feel so good when I'm near. That's why you always wanna be close to you. I'm so addicted to making love to you, baby. All night long, baby. All night long, 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 yeah. Good loving body rocking. Boots all night long, making love until we're tired to the break of dawn. But oh, come on, come on and turn the lights down and let me get on it. 'Cause when I do, just me and you, it'll be so right, so right, so right. I'm ready. I'm so ready. I'm so ready, baby. To give you everything that we've been waiting on. So come on, let's give it to me, babe.
Oh, yeah. Right about now, we on the intermission tip. So all you ladies, go get your towels, you know what I'm saying? 'Cause it's laid out like that, you know. But wait a minute, we ain't through. Kick the